I'm so excited to bring you our first episode and beyond, where we're going to be having real conversations about money, trying to blow the taboo off this topic, and just generally share our own stories so that we can all learn together.
I feel like we need to start with how we came about and the ultimate GRS story. It's because I use GRS in a sentence all the time, GRS, and some people may not know what that means.
Yes, well, GRS definitely comes from my book, Get Rich Slow, but it has become our philosophy. You know, in the early days of starting Wealth Enhancers, it was all about people like us, Gen Y, and no one in the finance industry talking to us and helping us. And I really wanted to change that. I wanted to be part of actually harnessing our generation and helping them build wealth. I was approached to write my book by a publisher, which was amazing. And when we were thinking of titles, I was like, you know, I don't want to be another get rich quick thing, because it's bullshit. Like, there is no get rich quick. And I hate anything I see that's like 0 to 5 properties in 5 years or whatever. Like, it's all just targeting people.
Make your first million before 30.
Yeah. Like, all this get rich stuff, that it makes people feel like it's going to be easy and it's just going to happen. And it also sounds like you don't have to do the work. Wherein the reality is, it's all about starting small, just starting now. Like, that, it's start now, but start small and chip away slowly. So I came up with that title, Get Rich Slow, pitched it to my publisher, and they liked it. Obviously, it was controversial, but some people were like, oh, it's not very appealing. Like, everyone wants to get rich quick. And I'm like, well, that's fine, but that's not authentic to me. Like, it's not real. So, I mean, I want to actually teach
people. Can't actually write that book.
Yeah, I can't actually write that book because it doesn't exist really. Like, of course, you could win the lotto if you buy a lotto ticket, or you could, like, have a windfall, but the reality is it's not going to happen for most of us, and we need to be chipping away and starting small and building up our wealth over that long term.
I know a lot of people, the reality of them having a windfall is actually when someone dies.
I know.
And I think we'd all prefer to
have our people living.
Yeah, have people still alive totally. And us getting rich of our own accord.
No, I mean, no one wants to, like, be relying on an inheritance for their wealth. And, it, like, look, if you have a potentially large inheritance coming, then, I mean, that's really nice for you. But still, you don't know when someone's going to pass away, let alone the fact that you don't want them to, let alone the fact that nothing's guaranteed in that regard anyway. You don't know for sure what could end up happening between now and then. They could just decide to leave all their money to the lost dog's home at the last minute. Like, you never actually know. And I feel like that mentality of, like, waiting for something else is really not owning it yourself. It's not owning your own situation.
And so what does GRS or Get Rich Slow actually mean on a day-to-day basis?
I think it means value for money, right? So where are you spending your money, and what is the value you're getting in return for it? So it's like learning how to get rid of the mindless spending, so that what you're spending...
The crap.
Get rid of the crap that really doesn't make an impact on you and doesn't make your life better. And so, you know, I think one easy way to do it is just for, like, a week, every time you go to spend money, just ask yourself, like, am I getting value for this? And the answer will be yes or no. And if it's a no, then it's probably something that you should try to ditch. So that's kind of the day-to-day, but I guess it also comes down to having goals and understanding what lifestyle you want to create. So forget all this stuff that's like what you should do. Like, you should buy a house, you should save 10% of your salary, you should. Like, it's not motivating if it's not what you want. Even the whole, like, saving for a rainy day, like, that actually sounds boring. Like, on a rainy day, basically I sit at home and watch Netflix. So do I need to save for it? $10
for the subscription. I'm saving my emergency money. I don't want an emergency to happen.
Exactly. And I mean, of course, like, everyone should have an emergency fund and blah, blah, blah. But those are not motivating goals when it comes to saving. Whereas, you know, really identifying, like, for me, I love traveling. I just want to spend my life traveling the world. For me, buying a house and getting settled is not a motivating factor for me. Whereas it might, like, I know it is for you, which is
why we're filming this in my house.
Yeah. Because luckily you have a house, because I don't. But yeah, I mean, everyone's different, right? If I was saving up for a house because that's what society tells me to do next, then I would be unhappy. Like, that is incongruent with my values and my goals. So I think Get Rich Slow is all about spending the time to identify, like, what are your values? What do you actually want to achieve in your life? What do you want your life to look like? Funnily enough, I think for most people, it's not very material, a lot of it. I mean, there are some material things that give us comfort, like a certain you know, where you want to live. Like, I'm definitely a big believer in my surroundings are important to me. So even though I might not necessarily own, I do spend a lot of time making sure that the places that I live and the places that I work feel really nice to me, like energetically and all of that. But so it's like identifying those kinds of things. Like, what do you actually want your day-to-day life to look like? What are you trying to achieve? Do you want to spend 6 months living in Europe, learning a language, or I don't know, start a business one day, but you know, you want a buffer for it. Or you want to be in a good position financially so that you feel you can take that risk.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want your own home? Do you want a holiday home? Like, what is it that's going to make you feel fulfilled? And breaking down society's idea and getting to your core idea. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And I know that we talk about value quite a lot. And particularly when people are trying to save money, you hear the whole like, oh, if you just don't have a coffee each day, you'll save $1,000 a year.
I have coffee every day.
But you love your coffee. Like, it's value. You know, if that's what you want to spend your money on.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I usually will go for a run or a workout or whatever. I'm not running that much anymore, but well, it hurts my ankles. No, but I'll go like do my yoga or whatever it is. And then I go to the cafe and I'll sit for like an hour and I'll enjoy a coffee. Sometimes I journal. Sometimes I think strategically about my business. Sometimes I'm just doing a little bit of work. But that is like my best time of my day. And for me to pay $5 for that hour
of peace. Is money very well spent?
Totally. And I know if you add it up over the year, like that's a lot of money, but I get value. Whereas if I was grabbing that coffee and going and not really just doing it or going to the cafe with my coworkers just because everyone else is doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's kind of the mindless spending. I know one of the things I talked about in my book, I was so terrible. I used to, every time I filled up my car with gas, I would go into to pay and I'd always grab like a drink and a chocolate as I was, or something like that.
Clearly before your health conscious
days. Yeah, I know. I used to like live on chocolate bars. But yeah, so not good for my health and not good for my banking account, because I'd probably be adding like, I don't know, $6 to $10 on top of my fuel bill every time I filled up the car. That's the perfect example of just wasted money. And it seems like so little, but it's the little stuff that adds up that makes the big difference over the year. Because it's much easier to waste money on something that's small.
Yeah.
Like if it was $100 for me to buy a drink at the gas station, I'd be like, no. But $6, you think, oh, it's nothing. And you just keep swiping. And then next thing you know, that's like a lot of money every year in your budget.
And so that is get rich slow. It's saying take your small wins.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like value for money, looking at what you're spending and, you know, sticking to a budget, which I think a lot of people hate that word. And they, you know, I still do as well. Like, you think of a budget and I think back to my days when I was like studying at TAFE and I worked 3 jobs and I rang my mum one day and I was like, Mum, I just did my budget and I'm $5 short every week. And she was like, oh, darling, I'll put $5 a week into your account. And I was like, no, I'll make it work. But like, that's how tight it was, right? Yep. It was really tough. There was no room for saving and it was all just getting by. So that word budget often brings us back to those days, but it's actually not. I mean, any good company, any good individual who's successful, who's going to be a wealth, will likely be running some form of budget. And it's really just around knowing what's coming in and what's going out and being mindful of that. So, I mean, if you don't look at it and you don't know what's going on, the chances of you actually being successful and harnessing that money to actually grow and get you your lifestyle is pretty low. So I think, you know, the first thing culturally that we need to do is really shift our mindset and see a budget as something that's...
It's just a tool.
It's a tool. And it's responsible and it's being mindful and it's ensuring you're building wealth and using your money in a way that also values what you had to do to achieve that money. You know, essentially money is like what we get in return for whatever we put out into the world. So if you are disrespecting your money, you're disrespecting yourself.
And particularly because most people are trading time in order to earn that money.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I'm referring to. So whatever job or business that we all go out and do every day where we spend our time, we're being paid in return for that. And so that it's like respecting yourself is actually what will enable you to start using that money properly and putting the appropriate value on it and using it to create your future lifestyle and not waste it on a day-to-day.
So when you started applying the Get Rich Slow philosophy to your life, mm-hmm. what was the first thing that changed?
I think for me, it was having the personal spending amount allocated. So going back to that living week to week mentality, but knowing that I was only using a portion of my paycheck and I needed to stick within that $250. So as long as I stuck within my $250, then I knew that the rest of my money was getting used to build wealth. And the way that I didn't dip into my savings or kind of ruin that wealth creation stuff that was happening was because I knew what I was saving for and investing for. I knew what I wanted to achieve in my life.
So you're not, in this instance, you're not just saving.
No.
You're saving for this.
Or yeah, that. Like I've got the savings account that's for my annual travel. And then I have like maybe the long term, like the investment account that's for the time when I want to spend 4 years living on a boat. Like, you know, those kinds of things, because that's, it's pretty motivating to like go, okay, imagine myself like living, traveling the world on a boat or whatever, rather than, yeah, just building wealth just for the sake of it. Like, and knowing.
Because no one sticks to that.
No, it's too easy not to. Like, if I was just having an investment portfolio there just for the sake of being financially responsible, whenever something comes along cool,
that's
in and out, you're just going to take it.
You're going to take it.
Yeah. So I think that was the biggest shift for me, was actually spending that time to really, because before that, like I'm a financial advisor, I had been investing, I had been saving, but I think that was the missing piece, was like, what am I trying to create? And I would set goals in my life, but I hadn't kind of made the connection between the financial side of what lifestyle I was trying to create. I would like set goals over here and then try to be financially responsible over here. And like it worked to some degree, but once I connected the two, because money is a facilitator of life. Like that's all it is. It's, you don't need to love it or hate it. You just need to use it for what you want your life to look like. And once I made that connection, that's like amazing, because then you can just go on that path.
It's the bulk of the battle.
Yes, it is. It is the bulk of the battle.
Next question.
You kind of got involved in our community and then became a Wealth Enhancers member before you
joined.
Yeah. How was your experience of the whole, like, doing the goals and values session and all of that?
Well, for me, the first step, or the reason I joined Wealth Enhancers, was originally just to become financially responsible. Okay. But I think the reason I've stayed for so long and why ultimately, like, I'm now a part of the team is, it was actually the goal setting.
Yeah.
And to walk sort of a few steps around having sort of life goals, yeah, to actually writing them down. I'd never written down my goals before. I'd never done them explicitly with my partner.
I was going to say that. I think one of the big things as well is like, if you are in a relationship, like getting that alignment, because how often do you sit down and do it together, let alone connected to finances as well?
And you think, you know you're roughly on the same page because there's stuff you talk about generally in conversation, but to actually sit down and go, this is what we would like our life to look like. We would like to have these choices available. Mm. Funnily enough, we're supposed to have kids like 2 years ago. That goal hasn't quite come.
Well, something's changed. I think that's okay.
But actually then recognizing as well that our goals have evolved over time, and at least we put ourselves in a position that we had these choices, and then we could say,
totally,
no, we don't want to do that, or yes, we would like to do that. And then to actually connect your finances to it. So we were in a position where we were saving quite heavily, but we were saving just for the sake of saving, because that's what you're supposed to do. And so there were natural things that we were just sort of spending, like we would save and then we would take the money out of savings to spend it on, because we were like, oh, but we've got all this money. Like,
totally.
You know, what are we saving for? Like, do you need an indefinite pile of cash?
Yeah.
And so actually connecting the goals with the finances. And it's funny, like I was really, really good at spending money on like stuff for a house.
Yeah.
And I felt no guilt whatsoever on that. But then I'd feel really guilty about traveling.
Yeah.
And when we sat down to do our goals, we identified that for both of us, this was like one of the biggest goals that we had. And so I was able to shift to think traveling is not spending, traveling is achieving a goal.
Oh, and that was society conditioning you to say, like, travel, you're lucky. It's, you know, I guess we are so much luckier than our parents' generation in how much we can travel. And it is like, from that regard, it's much more affordable than it used to be, hence why we do it so much. But yeah, you still had like a belief that it was not the right thing for you to be doing with your money.
It was like, Rebecca, you have a mortgage.
Yeah, how you should be responsible.
How dare you go spend, you know, a month in the States or doing this or doing that.
But then it's like, this is your life. And if you have those opportunities and you can create that, why wouldn't you? Why shouldn't you? You know? Yeah, I think that's really one of the biggest things, is just having that connection with your life and how you want to live it versus just what you should be doing. And the guilt is massive. And I think seeing the transformation in people, because we do get members as well that join, as you've experienced, who are like guilty about everything they spend. And most of the time they're like in a super awesome financial position. It's like, you're okay. You do not need to be guilty. And it's almost relieving that guilt for them, going, look, we're going to carve away this amount of your money. It's all going to be invested and saved and working for you like a well-oiled machine. And you have X amount every week. Spend it on whatever you want. Like, go to the bar and spend it all. Or go buy really ridiculously expensive jeans or whatever you want to do, because it's really only a small part and you're actually building wealth over here. But releasing people of that guilt of every purchase they have. I mean, some people are like that, some people are just not. But for those who are, I know how powerful it can be to just be like, it's okay. You've got a great plan in place and you're going to be taken care of. So just relax and spend your money however you want on a week-to-week basis.
Within your spending budget.
Within your spending budget, absolutely. Yes.
So, and the other thing I would add is the concept of starting small and but ramping it up. I certainly felt at, what was I, 23? Not now. 23 when it started, and it was like, oh, we won't invest because we're too young, we don't earn enough money, we'll wait till we've got... I think we're like, we'll wait till we've paid off the house.
Yeah, that'll be like...
in 29 years. And so... I'm pretty sure we started investing with our first share portfolio with $200 a month.
Yeah.
It was with two people contributing to that.
Well, totally. And now you can use like all these little apps and stuff and you can literally invest like cents, like dollars. Like you don't need, but even like $100 or $200, $100 I think is the minimum one that we have. Yeah, like $100 a month. Like most people can do that. You get comfortable and then you can start building it up.
And then you kind of get hooked on it. You get... like that is, I reckon that's what Get Rich Slow is. Yeah. You start small and then you go, oh, next time you have a pay rise or something like that, you go, great, how can I get to my goals faster now? I can do more.
Totally.
It's really addictive.
It is. It's a good thing about it. Because it's addictive, but it's going to end up in...
it's helping you.
Your lifestyle, life, yeah.
And along the way, you can start seeing, okay, I've ticked off this goal, and now I want more goals. And now I've started setting goals that I couldn't have even imagined that I would have.
That's so amazing.
And, you know, we talk often about basic, comfortable, and aspirational goals. A few years ago, I had no aspirational goals.
Yeah, because you're still trying to meet your needs of the basics. Like,
my brain couldn't comprehend it. And now that I have that basic and comfortable taken care of, or largely taken care of, you start thinking, ooh.
Oh, it's pretty exciting. I mean, I think that's sort of one of the things for everyone, is just like nailing down what's comfortable, what's basic, then what's comfortable in terms of, you know, Finn always talks about the Maslow's pyramid and all of that when it comes to investing. And that's certainly how we approach it. Like, let's get your basic needs sorted in terms of whatever that means for a roof over your head and the basic needs of your lifestyle. Then let's start making it a little more comfortable. And then you get to that point where it's like, wow, now I can really start thinking bigger and start thinking about, you know, what does a dream life really look like? But you're never going to get to that point if you don't start. Like, and I think one of the, why I'm so passionate about working with Gen Y is because we have such like easy access to credit, and then we have Instagram and everything like that. So it's really easy to like live the lifestyle but not be building wealth. So like you look rich, but you're not. You're probably in like really struggling, and I'm sure we can have a whole episode on like debt and managing that, and we can have a whole episode on a lot of different things. But yeah, it's like the difference between actually being rich and building up so that you're going to have that lifestyle later versus, okay, have the lifestyle now, but you are going to be on Battle Street in like 5 years or something because you haven't done anything. And because we're young, if we do start small but start now, it's going to be easy. I mean, when I ran the private wealth management firm, I'd have people coming in and saying, okay, I want to retire in 5 years. I'm earning around 350 grand a year. And I've got $298,000 in super. And I'm just like,
no,
you're fucked. Like, you can't, I'm not a magician. I can't turn, you, like, to live on, he's, this person's been living on $350,000 a year. No, you need like probably 10, 20 million to be able to keep that lifestyle going. It's just not possible, like, to do in 5 years. Whereas if they had started earlier, it might have only been 10 or 20%. Of their resources every year going into an investment, and they'd be completely fine. And we were certainly lucky that we have superannuation and we've had that our whole working lives, But it's not something we can rest on our laurels. Like, we still need to actively be creating wealth, because there's also short-term needs. Like, I don't want to have to work and live paycheck to paycheck until I'm 67 or whatever the age is going to be by the time we get there.
And then you can travel and do all the fun things.
Yeah. Like, I want to find a balance of doing it now while still building up for my future. And I want to be financially free well before, like, that traditional retirement age, right? So I think that's another thing that our philosophy is built on, is more about achieving financial freedom, from which point you can then work, like, because you love it, you have full choice in what you do and how you spend your time, because you have enough money now. And that's where I'm headed. I'm hoping to get there within the next 4 to 5 years, but I've, like, been actively smashing it for 10 years to try to really build my wealth. I also have lower, like, income needs, I think, than some people, because I just don't have, like, a lot of material things that I spend my money on, and I'm pretty happy to, like, 100, 150 grand a year for me is going to be a great lifestyle where I can keep traveling. So for me, it's like 3 mil, that's what I want to get to. Like, that's my financial freedom number. And again, I feel like we could do a whole episode on that and how do you come to that. For some people, it's going to be much more, but Get Rich Slow is all about actually having those conversations and establishing what you want it to be, what you need it to be, and then working toward it.
And 3 mil sounds like a really scary number when you're maybe, you've got debt, or totally, you have zero or maybe 5 grand or something, yeah, in cash. But if it's never going to look easier unless you get off your ass and start doing something.
Totally. And thankfully, like, given, you know, my area of expertise, I started really young. Like, I started pretty much from probably 21, 22, really actively started investing and saving. And so I also learned from myself. It was really small back then, but I built it up, and mm-hmm, I was like, okay, you know, I just need to get other people our age to actually think, all right, what am I going to do, and get them harnessed, because we're still young enough to make a difference and make it not be super hard when we're older.
So before we wrap up today, you just mentioned you started really young.
Mm.
How did you get into this field?
Oh, into, like, financial planning.
Yep.
I feel like, looking back now, like, saying it was, must have been, like, written into the stars or whatever.
It was, because, your destiny.
Yeah, it was my destiny. My dad was a financial planner, and literally I remember spending my childhood, like, on the weekends going into his office and, like, playing with all of the stationery and that's just, like, awesome, constantly being at their place of work. But I didn't think that I would be a financial planner. I actually didn't even know what he did. I just knew that my dad had a business.
Something to do with stationery.
Something to do with stationery and white out. I loved getting the white out, and, like, I was like, they've got so much white out. It's so fun. And I'd just go, like, paint things. I was probably, like, that kid painting the computer screen or something. I don't know. So when I was studying, when I first left high school, I actually studied photography first, believe it or not. I was quite the art student at school. And I was really good at math as well. And then I decided to study software development and multimedia and stuff like that, because I thought it's got to be all in tech. You know, back when I was making decisions based on what I thought a good career would be financially versus just what do I enjoy doing. So I dropped photography, which I loved, because I thought I wouldn't be able to make money in it. I definitely would not make that decision now. Like, just do what you love and money will come. So I started working. I asked my dad. I moved to Melbourne. I was about 19, and I said, oh, you know, you're in business. Like, do you know anyone who has a business that I can go and do some admin work? And I ended up working for his business partner, who I didn't even realize was his business partner, when they had two separate offices. And then, like, a year later, they merged their offices and I worked for my dad without realizing it. They were in financial planning, and I started learning about what they do. So I was, like, doing all the admin and doing all tech support, but I was, like, more interested in what they did. And I was always asking questions, like, can you explain to me this and explain to me that? And I was like, far out, this is amazing. Like, I think for me, it perfectly balanced my creativity, like, looking to the future and making that plan and helping people's dreams come true, with the math side of my brain, like, the kind of logic and financial element that I liked. And so I just started studying my Diploma of Financial Planning, which was, like, the first thing that you need to study, and then I did my Bachelor of Business with a major in financial planning. Just, yeah, finished all of my studies, and I was still working with my dad, had started moving into the financial planning type of area of the business, started working with clients, and I just loved it. I guess it was just, like, a natural progression for me. And then I got the idea of starting my own company with Finn, who I'd just met, and we went into, like, this private wealth management firm. I still don't know how a 24-year-old and a 27-year-old convinced 60-year-olds to manage their money, but, you know, we were doing pretty good things. I'd won some awards and definitely built up my profile and had the credibility and the expertise to do it. So I thank them every day, really, for trusting us and helping us build our company. And then, yeah, Wealth Enhancers basically came from that need to, and that want to help our own generation and our own people. But yeah, it was kind of like a unexpected, but then at the same time, like, I was probably born to do it.
Came across Wealth Enhancers, I would say, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, just with some of the content they were putting out on social. I think I got on their email list. Actually noticed a couple of my Facebook friends were clients of Wealth Enhancers. I think I've probably always been relatively loose with my money, not necessarily spending it all at once, but you know, if there was something that I wanted to buy, very rarely would I deny myself that privilege. It's been a little bit tougher to stick to a budget, but at the same time, I'm getting more comfortable with it as the weeks and months go on. It doesn't necessarily feel like it's just a financial firm that you invest money with and they just put it in the right places for you. It actually does feel like a community. I mean, recently, Beck's been helping me with a potential side hustle that I'd like to get off the ground, and you know, just sending me regular texts and emails, just checking in and that type of stuff, I think is quite invaluable, and hopefully it opens a few more doors down the road in my career.
Hi everyone. So I'm Rachel. I'm one of the coaches here at Wealth Enhancers. So today we're just going to have a bit of a chat about how Get Rich Slow plays out in my life. So I'm a mum of two, and that really sort of impacts all areas of my life as kids do, and I really have to work around being with my kids and also trying to achieve other life goals. So we're going to have a bit of a chat today about how I juggle all of that, what Get Rich Slow is, and how you can make it work for you as well. So my background is I've been working in financial planning for a number of years, and I've just recently been fortunate enough to join Wealth Enhancers as a coach. So I'm in my late 20s, and most 20-somethings, we've got a lot going on, and I've had a lot going on over the last 10 years. My husband and I have both finished uni degrees, and we've bought houses and sold houses and bought other houses and moved houses and both started masters, and we've had 2 children. So it's been really, really busy for us, lots of goals that we've been trying to achieve. And after I had my first child, we were in a position where we only had 1 income coming in because our big number one kind of guiding goal was that we wanted to spend as much time as we could with our children while they were young. So we don't put them in daycare, and that's been our choice, is to really have as much quality time. And I say quality time because I don't want to spend my every waking moment with them as much as I love them, you know. I want to have some other things going on in my life too. So for me, it's been about how can I structure my life in a way where I can be spending as much time as I can now with my kids, still be able to afford to have a great lifestyle, and achieve some other goals as well. Like a big one for us was to be able to move house into a house that would give us a bit more space and just facilitate our lifestyle a little bit better. So I was working in financial planning. I had 1 child, and I just thought, I know a lot about building wealth. I know a lot about investing, but the position I was in, it didn't really seem that applicable to me because we didn't have a lot of spare income. And really what we were aiming for was just to have that time, to not be working all the time and to be able to spend time with our children. So I went back to basics and I started reading all of these different personal finance books. And one of the awesome ones I came across was actually by Sarah, who is Wealth Enhancers co-founder and CEO. And it was called Get Rich Slow. And it really resonated with me. And that was one of many books that I read, but that one in particular really resonated. And at that time, I thought, right, I've got to get really serious about getting my spending under control. And we cut up our credit card, and that was one of the best decisions I've ever made, was cutting up that credit card and just going back to cash and really having control over, you know, seeing how much money is in the bank and knowing that this is what I have to spend for the week and I can't spend any more than that, or there won't be any there. So just not having that false sense of security that a credit card brings. And it is a false sense of security, because if you're spending into a credit card, you're spending money that's not your own and that you have to earn back at some point in the future. So for me, that was a bit of a turning point, was really just taking it back to basics and acknowledging the best way to build wealth is to start by spending less than you earn. Yeah, so it was really about taking it back to basics, and investing is important for the future. If you want to get somewhere, you need, well, investing is a great way to build wealth and work towards goals. But unless you're starting by really taking control of your spending, then you don't have anything left to invest, really. So, for me, it was taking control of what I was spending and also aligning what I was doing with my goals. So it's all well and good to invest and build a great big pile of money and say that you're rich, but it's not really motivating if you don't have a reason for having that money. Money is a tool for achieving things that we want to achieve. So if we don't have a goal, then, well, A, it's hard to start to build that wealth because it's not motivating. It's not motivating to say, oh, I'm just going to be rich or have a big pile of money. For me, being rich is about having a rich life that is full of things that I enjoy and people that are important to me and time to do the things that I love. You know, that's being rich to me. And money is an awesome tool to help me achieve that. But I'm not just saving and saving and saving to have a great big stack of money because why, you know? So, for me, it's about having the goals and then putting in place a plan to achieve those goals. So by sitting down and being intentional with our spending, we're managing on one income, and we've actually made it to the point now where we're both working part-time, my husband and I, which is really great because then we both get that time while our kids are young. And we know that we both have big future goals. And when we get to a point when our kids are at school, then we can start to focus a little bit more on those. So at the moment, our goal was to be have as much quality time as possible with our children, and we're doing it, which is really exciting. I think often we get stuck in the mindset in financial planning of planning for retirement, and retirement's a long way in the future, or even early retirement, but we don't think about those little breaks in your life along the way, like the times when you want to have a little break from your career to have kids, which, you know, they're only young once. I want to see them grow up. I want to be with them when they're growing up. So I think really being intentional and not just taking the path that's laid out for us of career and then eventual retirement is when you stop working. I think we can really be flexible in our income, sort of our earnings through our life, and having those mini breaks along the way if we want to. I would like to share my big number one tip for anyone who's thinking about having kids in the future. Might be soon, it might be 5 years away, might be 10 years away. And my really big tip for anyone would be to start now. So to invest now, because I think the one big mistake I made in my journey is that we perhaps didn't plan far enough in advance. For me, I didn't intend to have kids so early at the start. And then I got married and woke up one morning and was like, I want kids now. It's funny the way that hormones do that to you. But anyway, yeah, by the time you have kids, you want to be there and present for them and not have to worry about the money side so much. And I know a lot of people now have kids in daycare and it's both parents working. And for some people, they choose that and that's fantastic. But for some people, they feel like they're stuck in that situation. So I think if we can start putting aside a little bit of money earlier on and we can start investing and building up what we call passive income, which is where you're getting the income from your investing and you're not having to rely on your salary as much. And also you can have a bit of a savings there that you can draw down on. If we can give ourselves that flexibility, then it just gives you so many more choices. And not even just about having kids, it might be that you want to take a year off from your life and just go and travel or do something really exciting. So if you're thinking about really anything in the future, the earlier you can start to save and to invest, the easier you're going to make it for yourself to achieve your goals. And if you're not sure where to start, you can absolutely book in a consultation. We have financial possibilities consultations with us here at Wealth Enhancers, or even with myself. At the moment, I'm the only one of the coaches who has kids, so I suppose I could be the family specialist if you're looking to plan for that. And we can work out where you're at, where you want to go, and what you need to do to get there.
My name is Christine, and I'm one of the coaches here at Wealth Enhancers. Many of you will be taking the time this year at the moment to have a think about how you went this year and what you could have done better. I want to share with you my own personal reflections from earlier this month, what I learned and how I could have done things better so you can apply these to your own learnings. So let's be real. When you ask yourself, am I where I want to be? Did I do the things that I want to do this year? How did I go with my goals and why? When I asked myself this question earlier this month, I was also in the process of setting up my MoneySoft account, which a lot of our members are currently doing at the moment. MoneySoft is a great tool because at any point in time, I can see what my expenses are in relation to my budget. I can also see my financial position, and you can also see your goals as well and how you're clearly going with your goals. What became apparent with me is that there was one particular goal that my partner Scott and I are very attached to, and I had no money going to that goal at all. At the same time, what I also did was I started going through my receipts and started to think, okay, well, how much have I actually spent this year? And how much money did I waste? And I started going through all these receipts and I realized that, wow, I had spent money on things that I actually don't even use now. I remember earlier this year, I had bought something from J.Crew and I bought a few t-shirts, white, grey, black. Who doesn't wear those that colour? I mean, I'm wearing a grey t-shirt now. And I bought a couple of skirts and I thought, you know what, I'll wear them for work as well. Well, now it's the end of the year and I still have some of the t-shirts in my wardrobe with the tags on them. And unfortunately, I don't wear the skirts anymore. I still love them, but I just end up wearing similar things. And it was quite overwhelming. But the important thing is that you be honest with yourself when you make these reflections. And I was very honest with myself. And it's also very easy to blame, you know, your income or your circumstances for where you are. You know, I'm not earning enough income, or, oh man, my rent's too high, or the cost of living is just too high. And I just live in Sydney and Melbourne, and it's really expensive to live in these cities. But really, you know, it's easy to blame those things. But when you ask yourself, what could I have done? Often there are other things. And for me, I realized that, well, it was my spending on things that I didn't need. When I started to think about these things, it did become very overwhelming for me. And I let it bottle up inside myself. What I should have done is that I should have sat down and write it all down in a journal and let it blurt all out. Because when you leave it in your head, it can become quite overwhelming. It can manifest into a much bigger problem than it actually is. And so journaling it all down and putting it out there and putting your emotions down on paper would have been a better step for myself than just leaving it all in my head. As part of doing the journaling process, you also start to realize, well, you know what? I can't be too hard on myself. And it's also important to remember the things that you have achieved this year as well. It's so easy to get caught up in the negativity and let these problems manifest into bigger problems. But when you think about, well, hang on, okay, you know what? I've realized that I've made a mistake, and it's such an important step that you realize. But then you also ask yourself, well, what have I done right this year? And give yourself a pat on the back for the things that you've done right, but also for getting to that point where you've made a realization that, you know what, I'm not where I am with my goals, and I could have done better because I could have done X, Y, and Z. So for myself, this is not what I did. I didn't do this at all. And I let it stay in my head. And for a whole week, I just kept thinking about it and I kept stressing about it. And it really did upset me. And I remember I was having a conversation with Scott and we were having a conversation about something completely different. And then I just got so emotional and upset because I had linked, you know, the goals and the spending with that particular problem, and it all came out and I was a horrible mess. I even snorted when I cried, which is not where you want to be, because you want to get to, you want to address the problem well before that point. Once you have journaled, once you have, you know, put all your feelings down into paper, thought about, well, what have I done right? Giving yourself a pat on the back for making the realization, it's time to accept it and move on from there, because we know we can't change the past, but what we can do is ensure that we have measures in place so that we can move on from here, but also move down on the right path as well. And the final part is make a commitment. Make a commitment to yourself that you're going to change this and that you're going to do things better. And so personally, what I'm going to do is I've committed to myself to not spend on any more clothing. I've also said, okay, I'm going to go through all my existing clothing, I'm going to give away what I don't need and what I don't use, and I'm going to aim to reduce my wardrobe down to about 50 items. And then from there, if I need or I want something new, then I also have to give up the equivalent item. So if I want a new bag, I've got to give up the bag or sell the bag. And so that's what I'm going to do. So you need to ask yourself, how am I going to change this? What am I going to do? And the important thing is that you share it with people. Share it with your closest friends, share it with your boyfriend or girlfriend. For myself, I shared it with my colleagues and Scott as well. And you'll be surprised at how much support you get, because those people that are closest to you want to see you to succeed. And by telling someone, you're also more likely to do it.
My name's Gary Milburn, and I'm one of the financial coaches here at Wealth Enhancers. What is a financial advisor? And more importantly, how can a financial advisor help you? Research shows that around only 20% of Australians have a financial advisor. And you'd be right for thinking, what about the other 80%? Now, not everybody is ready to use the services of a financial advisor, but for the ones who are and do, research shows they end up in a far better off position than before the advice process started. Most Australians don't approach a financial advisor to assist them with their finances because they don't actually know what a financial advisor does. The majority of people think that financial advisors are for people who already have a lot of money, or you need to be rich to be able to afford to use one. And this couldn't be further from the truth. An advisor's number one focus is to help work out what's important to you and how to move you from where you are now to where you want to be. We help you to understand your current habits and if these are having an effect on you achieving your future goals. Sometimes, only a few small changes could be the difference between efficiently and effectively achieving your 10 out of 10 life. A good financial planner will get to know you personally, not just financially. They will discover your personal goals, desires, and preferences. They will make the complicated and tedious financial things seem easy, so you don't have to worry. I like to think of a financial advisor as a personal trainer, but for your money. If we think about why people engage a personal trainer, it's to help them get fit and maintain it. We all know how to get fit. We need to eat well and exercise, but it's the accountability that sometimes lets us down. So a personal trainer will always push you to get the most out of the training session and ensure you are always aligned to the bigger goal. This is exactly what a financial advisor does, but with your money. We work out what's important to you, help you set goals, and then plan a course to make you work hard and ensure we are both accountable to you achieving your goals. An advisor could help you with things such as determining your goals and how this will shape your future. This could include things such as cash flow and budgeting. Are your debts structured appropriately? Is your super right for you? Is your super investment aligned to your goals? What about insurance and protection? Do you have a plan in place if something bad was to happen? Do you own or want to own a property? How does this fit into the strategy linked to your goals? Importantly, advisors are here to serve you. You can choose from a small piece of advice through to a full service plan depending on what suits your needs and what you're trying to achieve. Fees are applicable and it should be in line with the work that's involved in setting up the plan. So don't let price be the inhibitor, because in reality, without any advice, where will you be? Will you be fumbling through and trying to achieve your goals? Will you get there? will you not get there in the most efficient and timely way possible? I guess to sum up, the most important thing about financial advice is taking the initiative to start. We can talk about the wonders of compound interest or how great the share market is going to do this year, but in reality, people don't take action. And it's this inaction that stops people from achieving what they're really capable of. So my advice to you is take action now. Meet with an advisor. Dream the dream where you're doing what you want, when you want, and how you want. Because that's financial freedom. And I think that's what we all want. Finally, I just want to say don't be part of that 80%. Book a free financial kickstart session with Wealth Enhancers today. This financial kickstart is to explore everything that's possible for you. Because I know with the right mindset, we can get you there.
So that's a wrap on our first episode. Thank you so much for joining us. Please send through any topics that you'd love for us to talk about. This show is all about having real, authentic conversations about money, lifting that taboo, and we'll definitely be sharing a lot of our own stories along the way. There's plenty of horror stories, along with some really good, successful stories as well.